Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mindfulness Mothers Radio Show. Motherhood is a 24/7, 365 days a year job. Our mission is to help support mothers as they face every day with love, kindness, compassion, respect, honor, and insight. The Mindfulness Mothers Radio Show creates space for connection and community with tips and tools for mindful parenting on each show from the world's leading experts in the field of parenting, motherhood, education, self-care, mindfulness, and more. As always, we start with our breathing in introduction, and because I'm so excited about today's show, I think we may need to breathe to just kind of center and bring it down a little bit. So we begin. Everybody get settled and just get comfortable in the place that you are in and the space that you are in. I breathe in, I breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I breathe in, I breathe out, just for today, that is enough. I breathe in, I breathe out, just for today, that is enough. I am enough. I am enough. I am enough. Just for today, I breathe in, I breathe out. And as I said before, I am so excited today to have today's guest, Alexandra Foltz, author of The Heirloom, a children's book. I'll go ahead and read you her introduction, and then we will jump right into it. I just finished this book. It's absolutely amazing. I recommend it to everyone who has daughters, sons, you know, the 10-year-old type range. Absolutely amazing. The Heirloom, where answers to the greatest mystery are inside you from the very beginning. When 11-year-old Indigo Monroe puts the old leather bracelet that she has been in her family for generations on her wrist, the mystery of who she is brilliantly unfolds. A mystical mom, a dad who seems to avoid her, classmates who tease her because she's peculiar, a tried-and-true best friend, and a menagerie of animal companions join her on her adventure from believing she's a total misfit and embracing her extraordinary gifts and standing up for herself. From wondrous objects appearing, visions and auras, to her dead twin sister's ghostly visits, Indigo learns to listen to her inner voice. Follow along as she takes an incredible journey towards self-awareness and self-acceptance. The magic of the heirloom is alive for everyone. Alexandra Foltz has a master's degree in nursing from the University of Michigan. Yay, go Blue! She is a writer, mother, and intuitive. She currently works as a team leader and member liaison for buildingconnectedcommunities.com and is an intuitive counselor, meditation facilitator, and volunteer for hospice. Alexandra is passionate about expanding awareness, honoring her inner voice, and pushing through fears while sharing her gifts with others. One thing she loves most is collaborating, bringing innovative ideas to life by celebrating and engaging with other people's natural abilities, which is what her book, The Heirloom, is all about, a living proof that collaboration and support by many create magical works of art. She currently lives in Washington State with her husband and two daughters, and later on we'll tell you more about the work that she's currently doing, but you can find out more about her by going to Alexandra Foltz, that's FOLZ.com, and we will also put all that information up on the Mindfulness Mothers Facebook group, so please come join us there. So welcome, Allie. Is it called? Is that okay?
Hello. Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you for having
Very excited to have you on the show today. Yes, I waited till the last minute before we did the show, so I read the book last week because I wanted it fresh in my mind, and it has stayed in my mind. It is an extraordinary journey of a girl's self-discovery and what it means to be who she is and the intuitive gifts, which, of course, both you and I have, which is also an interesting journey. I always say it's a talent, like playing the piano, right? So it's a niche market.
But, yes, it is. Yes.
So I just would love to introduce you to our readers. How did you get on this path of your own self-discovery from Michigan to Washington?
Well, that's a big question. I would say that it's just innate. I guess I've always wondered about, I guess here's the biggest question I asked myself when I was really young, and that was, how come we don't know who we are? How come that isn't something that we're really clear about? So I guess when I was young, I just, I wondered, you know, about why I did certain things, what I was called to. I looked at people around me, and at times felt kind of foggy about what I was bringing to the world and who I was, because it would get a little bit mixed up with my surroundings. So I was just very curious and very, introspective, which is, mm-hmm. I think, what's led me to want to know more about myself and what made me who I am. So it just started at a young age. I don't know. I was born that way, I guess.
I love that, because that we have very similar stories. I love, because that feeling of just wanting to know more about the world and the wonder of the world and the wonder of human beings has basically been my whole path since I was 2 years old. And I watch it in my nieces, and, you know, that who are we and why are we here and why am I different? Why is that person different? Why do they like what they like and I like what I like? And, you know, that question that we always ask kids growing up, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, and John Lennon has a notorious answer. He's like, I'm going to be happy.
You know? And that's really pretty much my goal as well. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. But what does it take to be happy? And I think that's maybe what your book is about. What does it take to be happy? And big part of that is self-acceptance. So did you have a point in your journey where, like, that self-acceptance was difficult, was hard to come by?
Absolutely. And I think it was hard to come by because I didn't really know what I was accepting, which I think was why I wrote the book. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a point at which we just kind of are on autopilot with what we think we should be doing. And I just remember thinking, I know I'm supposed to have self-confidence and self-esteem, but, like, in what? For me, I needed to kind of, I needed to feel the texture of myself. And in order to feel the texture and the nuances of my being, I had to discover that so that therefore I could accept it. I don't know. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I'm acting as though everyone knows, but what are your gifts in terms of, like, the heirloom is all about Indigo finding her different gifts. And as she goes along her path, she has a bracelet that's given to her by her grandparent or her mother through, you know, what's her grandmother's, et cetera. And that she finds, you know, that gift as she goes along the challenges of her life, which is really how we work along the path of self-discovery. What are your gifts that you have discovered as you've gone along this path?
That's a great question. I think one of my biggest gifts is my intuitive senses. Just hearing and feeling and knowing things quickly, and things that aren't necessarily projected out as something you could read clearly. So I have a strong, very, very strong intuition. So that's one obvious gift. And I think the other is empathy. I just have great empathy, sometimes to a fault, and I've had to definitely learn how to separate where I am living and how other people are living and how they feel. But that empathy definitely has come into play in my nursing career and as a mother and as a wife and as a family member. So that has served very well. I don't know. Another gift is I feel like I'm a pretty darn good communicator. that comes really naturally. Let's see. What else?
Well, I feel like there's a whole nother book in there, like, you know, how to discover your gifts, what they are, how, you know, that's, I feel like there's a whole nother how-to book there for kids, because as we grow up, I'm the same way. I'm empathic, you know, I'm social, you know, even though I'm an introvert and need my time alone in nature, just like Indigo in the book. But, you know, it, and then I call it, you know, the claircognizance, which is, I call it, I just know things, right? I just, and there's no way to prove. And having, for me, grown up in an academic family, you know, that was, you needed to have facts. You needed to have things in front of you. Like, you couldn't just know things. You couldn't just feel things. You had to prove how you felt those things, how you knew those things. You know, and so in the book, Indigo has a very supportive mother who's a nurse. So I'm pretty sure I know who that's based on. Did you have that family support, or did you feel like it fascinating you went to nursing, because that's an area and a career where both of those gifts are, or all three of them are extremely important in just doing a really good job, but they can also lead to a high rate of burnout.
Right.
Did you have support in your family, in your world?
You know, I had, how do I answer that question? My mom was fabulous, and we, to this day, have a very, very strong connection. But we had a stressful household. And as much as she was available for me, she was also working on her own stuff. And I could say that I could have used a book like this when I was 10, because I don't think I was feeling very well supported, not to anyone's fault, but it would have been wonderful to have probably a little bit more presence from a family. But, you know, that said, I am who I am today because of my upbringing, so, you know, but I think in writing the story, I'm writing probably some things that maybe it would have been cool to see in my own family growing up.
Well, and part of that is, you know, absolutely. The point of the book is the self-acceptance, right? And it's not just her, you know, she has another friend who's not intuitive, you know, but finds her own gifts, you know, that are different. And, you know, I always refer to the intuitive gift as being just like playing the piano, right? Or just like being into science. It's just another talent. It's just another hobby. It's an interest. It's a way we perceive the world. It's what we like doing in the world. It's how we interact with the world. So if you grow up in a family, you know, like mine, where music, you know, was accepted, then you're supported in music and you're supported in that way. And you have, I watch my nieces and nephews who have already recorded their own albums, you know.
My God.
You know, in first grade type of thing, you know, because they have access to recording equipment and parents who play musical instruments and know how to do it and support them. And, you know, so it, and they're in music and theater. Now, if you're in that family and you like something completely different, it's difficult to be there. You know, for instance, I was a writer. I didn't have any mentors who were writers, even though my mom and my grandmother are both writers. They just had not come to that point of self-acceptance and or knowing what that means as a career or what that would look like in the future to support. So, yeah, it's not fault. It's more about just being in that different environment of talent and what that means and stuff, too. And I love in the book that her mother does understand it, does support her, and is able to show her kind of a step-by-step way as she goes along her journey on what that means to open up to it, because it really is a journey. And the journey of writing this book must have been incredible. I mean, what was the you know, motivation factor for writing this book?
Well, so it all kind of, to kind of add in there a little bit, you know, I feel like I didn't know what my gifts were, you know, when you're young, because you just are. We're like the most awake and the most present as kids, and who I was and how I walked around the world was just that. I didn't think too much about it until a bit more stress kind of came into my life, and then I began to sort of leave it behind. And you know, when you're living pretty intuitively, or let's say you're highly sensitive as a child, you don't know that necessarily. I mean, because that's yeah. how you live, and you don't, and if you're not introduced to people around you who have those same kinds of senses, you think everyone has those same kind of senses. And mm-hmm. one of the reasons why I felt like I felt compelled to write the book was to affirm and to language many of the things that I think young kids have. And we're all intuitive. We all have senses. Some are dialed a little bit higher than others. But I wanted to create a book in the world that would kind of allow kids who found it to feel affirmed and to know that, wait a second, maybe what I'm experiencing, maybe other people aren't experiencing. Maybe that's why I'm having a little bit more difficult time relating with people. Maybe I'm putting my foot in my mouth a little too much because, maybe people aren't picking up on these things like I am. So to answer your question, you know, I guess I wrote it because I wanted a companion. I wanted a really good magical friend in the world for kids that were like this to connect with, so that they felt they weren't alone and that they had some support, because I didn't have mentoring as a kid in that way. My parents, even though my mom is quite spiritual, she wasn't there to affirm some of the things I was experiencing. And so I had to find it when I got older.
Well, and that's what I feel like, you know, most of the clients that I have and most of the people I talk to, including myself, we do go along this journey from childhood. That's just who we are. That's just the way we act in the world. That's just Janine. You know, it's just what she does. They pat me on the head, and that's just what she does. And then, you know, and yes, and then the physical world of having, you know, 20s, of getting a job and going to college or whatever you end up doing and having to support yourself and relationships and all the crazy emotions and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, we get dragged into, you know, complete physical side of it. And I guess the idea of burnout comes again of being just in the physical world, of being so highly sensitive. This is what happens to me. This is what happens to a lot of people who are mm-hmm. that highly sensitive. At a certain point, we have to accept that I may not be like other people. I can't push myself the way other people can, or I see too much. They don't see other things. You know, I say it's like walking into the Highly Sensitive Person book by Elaine Aron. It's a wonderful read for anyone who is highly sensitive and or intuitive kids. And it talks about, you know, a kindergartner who's highly sensitive walking into a classroom, and they see a million different things and feel all the feelings. Whereas a child who's not so sensitive, and there's no bad or good here, it just is, someone who doesn't have, you know, the senses cranked up to 1,000 doesn't
right.
feel or see the same thing. So the stress level tends to be higher for
right.
In highly sensitive and intuitive kids, just because we take in so much more information. So
yeah,
I love
in
the book how – go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I love in the book how she goes to the looking pond to have her quiet time, because that's what I work with kids and adults, is how to take care of yourself, that self-care. And I feel
right.
like that's a really good key that's in the book that can give a child a tool for later on, not just understanding themselves and self-acceptance, but how do I go to process these things, to access, because it's all about her talking to her inner wisdom. And I absolutely adore that. Yeah, that's where that getting to know yourself lies.
Yeah, and I have two daughters who are 1, 13, and 15, and we've always had, you know, sensitive kids, and we have, you know, geniuses on the piano, and we have all kinds of, everyone has something, you know, that they excel at. That's their natural ability. I also feel like there's just a higher frequency of kiddos coming in this world, and I'm concerned, and I want them to know how amazing their senses are, and at the same time, like you're saying, how to care for that. And I know for myself, I mean, I get exhausted really quickly, even in sharing this book and putting it out there. It's way tiring for me, probably more compared to some other people. So I don't know. I feel like hopefully this story and conversations like this that get out there will bring attention to how we can support and stand next to and mentor our kids who are this sensitive, and give them some language, and also share with them books and resources, and get them in nature, and do the stuff that you're doing, which is so fabulous. And if I hadn't written this book, I wouldn't have gotten to meet you and all the wonderful people that I've met along this journey. So
I love that. And I was just thinking, you know, the word communities, you know, came up, because it really is about, you know, everything you said about, you know, putting out a book is probably more exhausting for you than it is for, you know, someone else. And that's when we look, you know, I'm putting out a book next year, and, you know, I've done that before, and it is. It is when we try to compare ourselves, which is, I think, with the kids, right? We're comparing ourselves to other kids, comparing ourselves to other people. That's what we do as human beings. And we're, like, thinking that it's not enough. When in fact, like your book shows, and I feel like there's another book in there somewhere, a nonfiction how-to guide. But we'll have to talk about that later.
Yes.
But,
oh, God.
I know. Well, writing it, if you're like me, writing it's the easy part. It's putting it out and doing interviews and things like this. It takes a lot of focus and energy. But it is that knowing, you know, that there is a tribe out there, and it isn't necessarily, you know, the way we're going to live life is going to look like the way other people live life. And yet the ability to see the possibility in everything is, on the possibility path, the program that I'm creating and doing is a calm shortcut. That intuitive talent can be shortcuts to answers, and that's what is in the book. That Indigo learns that her intuitive voice can give her direction in her life. And that is something that I feel like, you know, I always say when people walk away from an interview like this, that they take something away from it. And obviously have your children go read this book and read it yourself, because it's amazing. But take away that idea, you're welcome, it really is, that, you know, we have that inner voice within us, and those who have the ability, and everyone has it, it's, you know, whether it's cranked up to 1,000 or it's at, you know, 15, everyone has that little whisper inner voice, intuition, and getting to know that and being connected to yourself and then accepting your own gifts and your own place in the world. It really is the journey that every human being goes on, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, you said something I just want to touch on. You know, if I were to look at the greatest umbrella that encompasses why I wrote this and why I wanted to put it out there and share it, is because for what you're saying exactly, you know, I think it's the inner voice basically that I'd love to see more language, more attention, more just more light on that whole concept. And my hope in writing the book was to showcase what that looked like, because I remember being a kid and being on a jungle gym. It was in elementary school, and hearing two different voices, you know, one saying, oh my gosh, go higher, climb up, go, you know, this is so exciting. And the other one saying, you know, be careful, slow down, you know, like, and that one that was saying, be careful, was, you know, whisper compared to my drive to get to the top of this really high thing. And if I would have read this story or had a book like this at that age, I probably could have conceptualized what was going on. And I might have directed my attention to not, you know, to not go to the heights, but to take it slower, you know. But we just, I wanted to share this because I want us to talk about these kinds of things with kids, you know. Because the voice is right there, and we know it.
Yeah, and it is a whisper, as you say. Everyone's like, you know, oh, it must be this really loud thing. It's like, no, it is the whisper that you hear when you're quiet. That is the inner wisdom. And, you know, if you want to use, you know, the language, you know, I love the whisper.
You know, it's a gut feeling. I always say, where is it in your body? It's in your gut feeling, you know, because that's where a lot of our sensory nerves are. But it is that whisper. It is quiet. And so we have to, that's what meditation and mindfulness and all that is about, is getting quiet enough to turn off the other voices in the world and our little, you know, as kids, the energetic body that just wants to go, 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 and paying attention to that really quiet voice. And that's hard to do. And so I think that's why the work that you do with meditation and we're doing on Mindfulness Mothers of teaching just how to get quiet for that moment to just listen to that little wisdom and that little whisper. And I love the quote in the book where, you know, it says in the very beginning when she discovers that it's the voice is her and it's her intuition, that you are the whisper and you are the wisdom. And I was that struck me because that's when everyone asks how I do what I do with intuition. You know, that really is it. And that's owning it as your own gift, as a part of who we are. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you asked a question at the beginning about happiness. And, you know, I feel like I unwrap that every day. You know, what is the key to happiness? Or, and I think it's, you know, it's really simple. But we make it really complex, but I think it's being in alignment with that voice and just going moment to moment. I don't really think it's anything more than that. I mean, you can have, so I don't know. I feel like the more that I allow myself to drop away from certain things I feel like I should do, the more I can feel, tap into that simple, simple feeling of happiness. But
it's a lifelong process of self-acceptance, and so yes, I feel like you're giving any child a leg up already with this book of just giving language to it and putting, you know, the fact that the ideas are out there. And we have 3 minutes left. I mean, we could talk for another 2 hours, but I feel like we get to the very root of it. Yes, to give our listeners,
we could, I know,
grandma too.
Yes.
Oh, I absolutely adore it. So before we have to close here, where can people reach you? What do you do with your days and clients and stuff like that? And what fun stuff can you offer them other than obviously going and getting an amazing book?
Let's see. So, you know, I'm at home with my two teenage daughters. That's what I do. And I'm and then I get the opportunity to work with clients and do intuitive readings. They find me. You can go to my website at alexandrafold.com or call 906-361-1047. But, yeah, I do intuitive readings when I'm found and called upon. And I also am a volunteer, so I spend some time in my community. And I'm giving back as a nurse. That's plenty.
Wonderful. Yeah, and the hospice work. We'll have to do a whole other show about that. That's amazing work that you do. So thank you to everyone in the world for doing that type of work. That is hard work. So appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well,
Of course. And just to let everyone know, I had the pleasure of meeting you through our Hug Alliance, which is an amazing group of people. They are all, I think I'm up to date. They are all linked up on mindfulnessmothers.com, so you can check that out. The link there is also on mindfulnessmothers.com. The website itself under affiliates, I think I put your book at the bottom of the first page because, of course, it needs to be.
thank you so much
and,
for your support.
Yeah, this is only the second time we've had a chance to talk, but I feel we will be talking much more in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be.
Wonderful. Great. And to let everyone know, please come to Facebook and join the Mindfulness Mothers Facebook group. We would love to have you in there and all of the information. Or we also have a Mindfulness Mothers Facebook page. Feel free to like that. And we will put all of those links and all of that information up on there. So I can't believe it's over, but thank you so much for coming on. It has been a delight and a pleasure.
Oh, I am honored and thank you. I'm more grateful, I'm sure, than you are. I appreciate your time having me here.
I would
thank
say
you
it's
so much.
Equal. Absolutely equal.
All right, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Bye.